Well, good morning, church. My name is Grant Wright, the Outreach and Missions Minister here at First Colony, and excited that you are here to join us. This is a special season of the year at our church. This is a month where we take to just step back and see what the Lord is doing in and through the First Colony Church of Christ in our international mission work. And so, as our church, not only do we get to celebrate that this morning, but we also get to listen and see what is the Lord calling us to do here next year. What is our role and our part in this international mission work? So as we dive in, we're going to be talking about two main things this morning. The first one, we're going to take a little time and talk about our mission vision as the First Colony Church of Christ. What's our approach? Why do we do these things? And the second big thing is the why behind it. We want to take time to say, all right, why do we even go do missions at all? Grant, why do you get excited on that stage every November when you get up there, right? Okay, so let's do that. Let's dive in. First Colony mission vision, very simply put, we engage specific geographic areas with First Colony's 12 missional approaches as we partner with God in His mission to seek and to save the lost, this comes out of Luke 19, and to see every nation, tribe, people, and language standing before the throne and the Lamb. That's Revelation 7:9. And so we see this, we are joining God in His mission. We are going and doing our part, but the end of that vision is all peoples standing before the Lord and worshiping in heaven, and that's what we're working towards as our church. But this vision statement starts by talking about specific geographic locations. And so when we started out, our leadership said, all right, we're just going to step back. We're going to take a little time. We're going to pray. We're going to fast. We're going to listen to the Lord. We're going to see, where is He calling us? What is the people groups that He is giving us a name for, a burden for, a vision for? And we want to target these places. We want to focus there. And so you're going to see behind me, we've got five international mission points, and their flags are right here. We've got Honduras, Uganda, Haiti, Colombia, and Nepal. Some of these places we've been for decades. Uganda, we've been 25 years. Others, Colombia and Nepal, we've been for about 5 years. But in all of this, as you think about the First Colony Church of Christ and our missions, it's focused our time, money, and energy in these five specific places. This is a beautiful picture, church. We've been around as the First Colony Church for about 35, 36 years. And this one church has gone and planted 25 other healthy churches around the globe in all peoples. 25. I mean, this is a beautiful picture of Revelation 7:9 coming to life. We are just getting a taste of that here on earth before we get to experience before God's glory in heaven. So, as we get going, we just need to know, mission, is it at the very heart of our church, and it has been since its inception. It's a little bit about our vision. All right, so you might be thinking, all right, Grant, get the big picture. What does this look like practically? Let's narrow it down. What does this look like? So some churches, as they go on mission, they do a really good job of focusing on the human needs. They'll go, they take care of the orphans, the widows, they make sure that there's that cold cup of water for somebody that's thirsty. There's another group of churches, as they go, they do a really good job of taking care of those spiritual needs, the evangelism, the church planting, making sure that the gospel spread. So our church, what we want to do, we call this a holistic mission approach. We want to take the physical as well as the spiritual and make sure that in all five of our geographic locations, we are meeting both of those needs. And so as we go, you're going to hear us talk about both elements of the physical and the spiritual in these geographic locations. So we break it down kind of into three categories. On the human side, we've got what we call our mercy ministries. On the spiritual side, we've got what we call our discipleship ministry. We want to go make disciples among the nations. And then the third phase is sustaining communities. So let's break this down one by one. So our mercy ministries, what does this look like as we go? This looks like us adopting the Father's heart. Okay, I love God, and he puts this so clearly throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament as he talks about loving the foreigner, loving the poor, loving the widow, loving the orphan. Deuteronomy 10:18 says, God defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow. He loves the foreigner residing among you, and he gives them food and clothing. But we also adopt the son's heart. And as Jesus goes and he does ministry in new towns and new places, he first goes in and he takes care of the physical needs of the people. And as he serves the people and their needs, then he takes care of their spiritual needs. And this is many times what we do as we go into these geographic locations, is we take care of the physical. This allows those people to experience the goodness that comes from God and God alone, to experience the hands and feet of Christ as the body of Christ, his church, his bride, goes on mission. But then it also, we follow that up with the spiritual. But real quick, before we jump there, you might be saying, all right, well, Grant, what does this look like? Practically, what does this look like as we take care of people's physical needs? Well, in Haiti, this looks like us feeding 600 kids a warm meal every day before they go to school or at school, because at home they're not receiving food during the week. This looks like in Uganda, when there's a famine, we come alongside them, provide food while these families are literally starving. This looks like for a decade where we're investing in farming God's ways principles, teaching these people to increase their crop yields so when famine comes, they're able to survive. This looks like in Nepal, where there is natural disasters like earthquakes and monsoons, or recently COVID-19, where we're able to come alongside and provide for the physical needs of these people during this time. This looks like in Cucuta, Colombia, right next to the border of Venezuela, where you've got Venezuelans coming across as refugees, and we're providing for needs for there. But then our local church in Cucuta is also going across and serving 90 churches of Christ in Venezuela. This looks like starting medical clinics. This looks like our members going on short-term mission trips and taking care of those physical needs of the people. This looks like helping orphans, widows, and in Nepal, rescuing girls out of sex trafficking. You're starting to get the picture for what this taking care of the human side looks like as we go with the Father's heart for all people. So then we've got the spiritual side. All right, this is the disciple-making side. So what does this look like? Well, at first it starts with prayer and fasting. It starts with us and our leadership. That starts with our folks on the ground and our missionaries. In fact, in Nepal, they spend the first 40 days of the year in prayer and fasting. That's not the leadership. That's the entire church. I mean, that shows some of their heart and their passion to submit their lives before the Lord and trust him with their needs. As we go, we want to see Bible studies among all of these people groups. We want to see non-believers, seekers. We want to see new believers and old believers gathered around the scriptures and studying them, and specifically in their heart language. We want all of these people groups to know and have the Word of God that is the bread of life in their heart language. And so where there is lack of gospel translation, our church comes alongside to provide that. And the last piece of this disciple-making is Christian community. We want to establish Christian community in these places. So what this does not mean is going in and planting one church in one of these locations. What this does mean is going into one of these locations and seeing a movement, a spread of the gospel, a spread of Jesus Christ where he is known and worshiped in these places. This looks like in Uganda, where we've got 17 churches and cities and villages that are spread out among the Onkoli people group. This looks like in Cucuta, Colombia, where we are planting things around the city and Jesus' name is being known, or in Honduras, where Santos is overseeing 20-plus churches in and around the city of San Marcos de Colón. In Nepal, we've got 86 home groups, fellowships, established across the southeast corner of Nepal, where the Lord has given us a passion and a vision for. You're starting to get a vision for the spiritual needs of what's happening in the call for our church. So we see there's physical, we see there's spiritual, but then the question that we need to ask next as we evaluate our mission work is, how do we create holistic mission that lives beyond the life and the presence of the First Colony Church of Christ? And so this is the third piece of what we do. We call this sustaining communities, where our focus is, how do we make this self-sustainable? So what does this look like? This is us going on short-term mission trips and investing and pouring in to the local leadership, giving them training, teaching them to share the gospel, rising them up, letting them take ownership of the movement, and lastly, seeing and establishing these mission points, having local resources and funds so they can do their ministry on their own. Because let's be honest, church, we have been the steady fuel and resources for all of these movements for years and sometimes decades. But that's not the end goal. We go in and we start and we teach and we disciple and we teach good doctrine, but then we want to release that. We want to release it so that those locals, they can take it, own it, and spread it among their own people. What's been beautiful is, even in the hardships of the coronavirus, the lockdown, we haven't been able to go on trips to these places, we have seen the hearts of these locals that just love Jesus and they love God more than anything. It reminds me when Paul says, I am in chains for the gospel, and they are submitting their lives and saying, I'm going to give it all so that my people are taken care of. I'm going to give it all so that I know that this region is covered with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're seeing them own it and take it, and it's a beautiful picture of this played out. So real quickly, let's define success. What does success look like in the end game of what First Colony is going to accomplish? Four key things. Number one, local leaders leading the churches and the movements. Number two, we see people coming to know Jesus on a regular basis. Number three, the local leaders have caught this vision for holistic mission, and now they are praying. They're asking God, where do you want me to go? Where are we supposed to go, to the next town, village, or country? And then they're doing it on their own local resources. That's success for our mission. All right, so again, I hope you see the approach. I hope you see the vision of what this looks like as we go on mission. And now we want to take a minute to say, why? Why do we do this at all? Why is mission important? Grant, what are you doing up there getting so excited about this all the time, right? Okay, let's dive in. Here it is. So the reason mission is important is because it allows us to multiply the glory of the Lord. Very simple. It allows us to multiply the glory of the Lord. That might sound a little interesting, that phrase, the word glory. We don't often use the word glory in 2021 America, but this is a term that is frequented throughout Scripture, Genesis to Revelation, 285 times. And as it's used, there are three primary ways that this term is used. So let's walk through this real quick. Number one, glory is an intrinsic part of the Lord's character and presence. So the Lord is glorious. And when he reveals his glory to humans, it is beautiful and spectacular. Okay, so the Lord's glory shows up in creation. We see the Lord's glory as it shows up to Abraham, to Moses, and the prophets. We see the physical presence of the Lord's glory show up and fill the tabernacle or fill the heavens. I love how the scriptures say the heavens are in no need of a sun anymore because the glory of God is there and it fills with light, right? So the physical presence is the glory of the Lord. Number two, glory is something God does. He does glorious things. And glory is evident in the Lord's grand deeds and provision. So we see the Lord's glory as a pillar of fire as he protects and provides for the Israelites in the desert. We see the Lord's glory present at Jesus' birth, his baptism, throughout his ministry, and at Jesus' resurrection. We also see and witness the glory of the Lord present at Stephen's death in Acts chapter 8. I mean, what a beautiful gift that the Lord's glory can comfort us in our time of need. Number three, glory is something that we participate in. Okay, it's something that we do. We give God glory. How do we do this? Guys, this is like a gem of Christianity. How do we give God glory? We recognize Him for who He is. He is God. He is the great King above all gods, and we worship Him. We give Him our delight, our praise, and our thanksgiving. I love what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10 as he talks about this lifestyle of worship. He says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for what? The glory of God. That's right. All right. So you might be saying, all right, Grant, I get it. I see. The glory of God is the Lord's presence. The Lord does glorious things. We give Him glory. But what does this have to do with mission? What does this have to do with multiplying the glory of the Lord? Well, that's a great question. You guys are on it today, so I'm glad you're talking to me. All right, let's get ready. So here it is. The multiplication of the glory of the Lord. This is His ultimate goal. Okay, this is what He's been working for this entire time. Let's dive into some text here. Let's start with Habakkuk 2:14. And there's a beautiful picture that is painted by this prophet here that says, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge and the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the seas. All right, test time, church. What percentage of the sea is covered by water? What percentage of the sea is covered by water? 100%. Thank you. You guys are awake. All right. So what that means is 100% of the earth is filled with the Lord's glory. Let's look at this throughout Scripture. Let's start with Abraham. We know the glory of the Lord came to Abraham when he's making the covenant. And he says, God says to Abraham, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of what? Many nations. Not the father of a son, not the father of a family, not a nation, many nations. Now we're going to dive into David's heart. David is a man after God's own heart. And we're going to read some psalms that show his delight, his thanksgiving, as he's worshiping God. You're going to see phrases like all peoples, nations, all the earth. Let's dive in. Psalm 67. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Psalm 96, declare His glory. You can talk to me this morning. It's good. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among all peoples. Psalm 97, let the earth reign, and let the earth rejoice, and the many coastlands be glad. We see Jesus' heart for the nations in His famous speech to the disciples in Matthew 28 when He says, go and make disciples of who? All nations. Acts 1, right before He raises into heaven. But you will receive when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and where? The ends of the earth. All right, one last scripture here that's going to tie a nice bow, bring all this together for us. This is found in Philippians chapter 2. Okay, this is one of Paul's most power-packed scriptures. And that's saying a lot for the Apostle Paul. But let's just take a second and remember who he is. The Apostle Paul was chosen to be God's instrument to proclaim his name among the Gentiles. Acts chapter 9, right? All right, let's dive in. Philippians 2. And being found in human form, Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted and bestowed upon him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. In heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess. Confess what? That Jesus Christ is Lord. And why are they confessing this? To the glory of God the Father. This is saying that as more and more people come to know and confess Jesus is Lord, that God is glorified. Well, how do more and more people come to confess Jesus is Lord? Through missions, right? That is exactly what we are doing. The expansion of God's glory is His ultimate goal. This is the meta-narrative in which Christ is calling and God is operating and that we get to live in. We are participating in the multiplication of the glory of the Lord as we go and do mission. When Amita confesses Jesus as Lord, because she hears the gospel through our missionaries, Ronald and Monica Sabina in Cucuta, Colombia, she gets filled with the joy of the Lord, so much so that she can't hold it in. She's got to go tell her husband, and then they've got to go tell their relatives, and now there are 12 other people that confess Jesus Christ is Lord in the church in Cucuta, Colombia. In this, God is glorified, and the earth is closer to being filled with the knowledge and the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the seas. When Relit hikes 4 hours up into the Haitian mountains with the youth group to a place where there is no Christian presence to plant a church, and today there's 100 people that gather every Sunday because of them, the Lord is glorified. In the earth is closer to being filled with the knowledge and the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the seas. In Nepal, where our missionaries go to some of the hardest places to reach physically on earth and share the gospel with 25,000 people last year alone, God is glorified. And the earth is closer to being filled with the knowledge and the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the seas. As Manusha is rescued out of sex trafficking, brought to a safe house, accepts Jesus, confesses Him as Lord, and now mentors 17 other Hindu rescued girls. God is glorified. And the earth is closer to being filled with the knowledge and the glory of the Lord as the water covers the seas. And as the First Colony Church of Christ goes on mission, as we fully fund 9 missionaries, as we translate and distribute Bibles, disciple local leaders, start Christian schools, plant churches, and ruthlessly work to make known the name of Jesus among our 5 international mission points, come on, church, you know what's coming. God is glorified, and the earth is closer to being filled with the knowledge and the glory of the Lord as the water covers the seas. But do you see why I get so excited about this every time I get to get up here and share what the Lord is doing through this church? It's a beautiful picture of the Lord spreading His glory. There's one other reality that comes with this truth, and it's sobering. Everything else that we work for here on this earth, everything, it fades. But the truth that Jesus is Lord and His glory will be multiplied and last forever. So for us to join God in multiplying His glory, guys, this is the only thing worth living for. The only thing. All right, I want to share a video with you guys that talks about what the First Colony Church has been doing over the last 5 years as we have worked to multiply His glory. Let's check this out. Thank you.
First Colony Church of Christ is committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. In our 35-year history, we've started 25 churches. During this time, our missionaries and mission teams have shared the gospel with thousands around the world. They've reached the unreached and baptized in the name of Jesus. Indigenous leaders have taken ownership of the Lord's call to seek and save the lost. Houses have become places of worship where seekers and believers can deepen their faith. God is on the move, and First Colony is fueling the fire. Over the last 5 years, we have seen 2,673 baptisms, 134 new groups started, 3 new churches planted, and 161 girls rescued from human trafficking. And we have served 1,043,000 meals. This crisis relief includes Colombia, Honduras, Uganda, Nepal, and the children of Haiti. With your continued partnership and support of our 2022 international mission work, we expect to start new churches, baptize the unreached, and train indigenous leaders. Soon, we will see our 5 targeted mission points with biblically healthy, multiplying churches, redeeming lives, and transforming communities.
This is First Colony Missions. This is who we are. We multiply the glory of the Lord. I mean, I love what this church has been able to do for the kingdom over the last 5 years. Over 2,600 baptisms, over 130 groups started, 3 churches, 1 million meals. I mean, this is a beautiful picture of the Father's heart for all peoples. Guys, I know some of you all have been in this for decades. Thank you. Thank you for your partnership. Some of you guys have jumped in head first the last couple of years. Thank you. Some of y'all are new this year. We invite you to come be a part of the mission legacy that is the First Colony Church of Christ and what we're doing. But none of this, absolutely none of this, happens without the passion in the hearts of this church to be involved. And I'm excited. This year, you know, the Lord has given us a massive vision for 2022, a God-sized vision. And it's asking a lot of us. We're in a season where we're transitioning from this multiplication of discipleship that we have seen into a season where we're wanting to sustain the multiplication that we have seen. So what does this look like? This looks like needing to acquire new properties, needing to build new churches. In Nepal, this looks like moving from a house church to building a church that can be a community center. It can be a discipleship training facility. This looks like in Cucuta, Colombia, where they're in a rented facility, and we're going to go acquire a new property and building so that that place can have their own place of worship long after the presence of the First Colony Church of Christ. This looks like in Uganda, where we're going to add 2 more floors to the town church building so that they've got more space for leadership training. They've got more space for rental income that's going to generate income for the 17 church movement that will go again long after First Colony Church of Christ. But in order to do this, I mean, it takes extra from us. I mean, the bottom line, that's just what it looks like. As we go and we give, I mean, typically we raise about $200,000 a year on our mission giving. And this year, to be able to go acquire these and build these things, it looks like it's more like $400,000. And so, church, as we go into Missions Month, is Mission Sunday next week, this is my ask. That this next week, we just come before the Lord and we pray and we say, what do you want my part to be with multiplying the glory of the Lord this year? What does that look like? And then we obey it. We be Christians that are crazy enough to obey what the Lord puts before us. And as we do that, we will go and do as much as we can with what is provided. Church, I'm excited. I'm excited to see the vision that He's given us, the people that He's surrounded, what we've been able to accomplish, and what the Lord is going to do in the future. It's an honor and privilege to be in this together.